You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
6:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday morning. We made it to the end of another week. Yay us. We've already got people joining us on the live stream this morning, Brian, commenting. Alicia's very excited that the live stream is up again after being down yesterday. Thank you for that, Alicia. And Daniel saying, happy Friday, sup, peoples. Well, it's Friday. That's basically all you need to know.
That's all the sup, baby. You know, we're up, we're at 'em. We're glad you're here. If you want to get involved with us, we'd love to hear from you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can do the heavy lifting today. So call in. You can voice your opinions, and we can take a break. No, that's not true.
That's never going
to
happen.
Got a lot to get to. Got a lot. No, it's never going to happen. We will not be silenced. Not that anybody's trying to silence us, but it's nice to build the drama.
Yes,
on a Friday
morning. It is.
Go into the weekend with questions. Like, oh, what's going to happen?
Well, nothing, as it turns out. We're just going to keep talking.
What's that?
I said nothing as it turns out. We're going to just keep talking like we always do.
Let's hope. Let's hope. So we start with headlines out of Iran. We're going to start our fourth week of this war. And tomorrow we'll mark the fourth week. So here we go. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the country will heed Trump's call not to repeat attacks on key Iranian energy sites like the South Pars field. Iran continued to make retaliatory strikes around the region, including against Kuwait, as the Middle East conflict deepened energy supply fears.
Also in headlines from Iran this morning, Mojtaba Khamenei, there we go, I'll get it out this morning, who has made no public appearance since being chosen to succeed his father, said in a written statement, security must be denied to all Iran's enemies.
Oh, good.
Well, you know.
That would be us, right?
It would be us,
okay.
Yes.
Well, yeah. That's a good way to start the day. President Trump confirmed that he's seeking $200 billion in new Pentagon funding, calling it, quote, a small price to pay to equip the military. And we're going to get into that a little more as the program goes on. So we'll talk about that and how much is too much?
Iranian state media are reporting that Major General Ali Mohammed Naini, the spokesperson for the powerful Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, has officially been killed.
All right. And oil prices. Oh, here we go. They edged lower on Friday. That's a good it's good news, right? Well, that came after a tumultuous day that saw the international benchmark surge above $119 a barrel as the Middle East conflict deepened energy supply fears. But analysts warned that prices would stay elevated with energy infrastructure damaged and vital oil and gas shipping lane, the Strait of Hormuz, effectively shut down. Goldman Sachs even suggested that higher prices could last all the way through 2027. Which goes against what we've been told, that prices are going to drop immediately, Jamie.
Yeah, it turns out that's probably not how it's going to be. Alicia chiming in this morning over on social media saying in her area, gas has gone up almost $1 a gallon over the last few days, which is, I think, a familiar story for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mentioned that yesterday that I filled up on Wednesday, and it was literally $1 more than it was a week ago.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Before we jump into Pentagon spending, just a couple of headlines from around the area that you may have missed. U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi is allowing Brad Schimmel to keep overseeing federal cases in Wisconsin under a new title. He's been named First Assistant U.S. Attorney in Milwaukee, where he will continue leading operations. This kind of move is common when Senate confirmation votes are delayed. It allows federal offices to keep running while political battles over appointments continue.
And Madison police are under question amid questions about the way they interpreted crime data and used artificial intelligence. Madison's Office of the Independent Police Monitor has taken down its most recent annual report and placed it, quote, under review. The 2025-26 annual report, which is the second to come out of the office since it was created, used AI to create the report's cover, which appears to show a skyline of Madison with two state capitals. Oh, you always got to proofread, folks, with one on the lakefront. It also used the check and edit. It also used AI to check and edit the report, but did not write it. There are also certain clarifications that need to be made in some of the claims the report makes about juvenile offenders. So remember, AI is a tool. It doesn't do everything for you yet.
That feels like one that could have been very easily not a problem whatsoever just by using your own eyes. But hey, what do I know?
Maybe people want two capitals.
Maybe.
Because we're not getting enough drama out of one.
Maybe.
Let's get us
and
another.
And boy, has it been dramatic over there. We'll also get into that further later on this morning in the program. Roger chiming in over on Facebook this morning. I'm happy to see all three of you back. Yay! Thank you for that, Roger. After that
Thanks,
disappointment
Roger.
From yesterday. I don't know if he's referring to us or the Badgers losing, but, you know, whatever.
Oh, he says doggone Badgers,
yes. Doggone Badgers, yes.
We're a moment of silence for Parker.
How are you doing, Parker?
I'm fine. You know, the Badgers were either going to go to the Final Four or they were going to lose in the first round. There was no other option, so I feel fine.
That feels like acceptance this morning in some sort of roundabout way.
Yeah. What stage of grief is that, the acceptance? Is that seventh or?
Oh, at least fifth. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, you're moving through the process quickly then, so maybe you are okay.
I'm used to losing quickly in the NCAA tournament now.
That seems to be Wisconsin sports just in general. Go in hot, lose quickly, and, you know, here we are. But
here we are.
We do have
yesterday. Yeah, oh, sorry.
No, I was just going to say we have some, we alluded to it, some big news from the Pentagon based on, you know, what they want to spend for this war in Iran.
Yeah, they are seeking another $200 billion in additional funding. That is a massive request that traditionally we need Congress to approve. We'll see. Defense officials say the money would cover ongoing military operations, weapons, and replenishing supplies, which we are still hearing the Biden administration being blamed for, and Ukraine and all of that. But this comes on top of about $150 billion already given to the Pentagon last year, plus the regular $800 billion annual defense budget. So my question to you at 855-75-CIVIC is, how much is too much? And if this war is supposed to be done quickly, why do we need that much money on top of the $950 billion that we've already committed to the Defense Department? And also remember, you can question that without being anti-military.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, for a war that we continue to be told is not a war, should be ending soon, is just a short-term excursion, as the president has actually called it, this feels like a large budget, especially for something that has had, at this point, no congressional approval. Other than to say, you know, the initial attack was okay, it didn't go against the War Powers Act, so we're going to allow this to play out. Now, we remember a couple of weeks ago when they had that particular vote, the government and this administration only has 60 days to prove why they're actually there and whether or not this is something that we need to dive deeper into. Well, we're already a couple of weeks into that vote, so the clock is ticking, I think, essentially at this point to prove what the purpose is of why we might be in the Middle East right now.
It does appear that the administration is trying to get inflict as much damage in those 60 days as possible, just from the outside, without being a military expert. If you look at it, you go, boy, the dialogue coming out of there, the actions we're taking, it, and now that we're alone, basically, in the world, everybody's saying, no, we're not going to help with the Straits. It doesn't seem like it's going to end quickly. And again, we do not have any exit strategy. We haven't been told of any exit strategy, I should say.
Right. And Democrats are demanding clear answers on that strategy, the goals, and how that money is going to be spent before they approve anything. Some Republicans are also hesitant to give the Pentagon this kind of money, especially those focused on cutting federal spending and reducing the deficit. Of course, the U.S. national debt is already over $39 trillion, which adds a lot of pressure to justify any new spending. And as you rightfully pointed out, I mean, this has nothing to do with being against the military. This is about this administration being accountable for their acts. You know, and as voters, we should also be demanding that sort of accountability from our Congress to get to the bottom of this, to get the answers, because this is taxpayer money. I mean, this is taxpayer money.
Cindy texts in and asks that, where is the money coming from? You can text or call at 855-75-CIVIC as well if you want to get in. You want to play conspiracy theory for just a second?
Ooh, tinfoil hat time? I love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don Jr. and Eric have gone into the drone business.
Mm.
The American people, have already purchased drones from them. I'm wondering how much of that extra $200 billion would go to buy drones from a certain company to continue. And I only say that because of the proven records that have come out to say how much the Trump family has enriched themselves in this second term in a year. So it wouldn't surprise me. Now, I'm sure there are ongoing costs in a war that you don't budget for.
Of course.
I don't know if $200 billion, again, that's on top of $150 that was already given on top of the $800. Would you? I like to keep throwing these numbers out so people can wrap their head, or
it's
if you
early.
Can't even wrap your head around a
It's early. You might
dollars.
Need you might need more coffee for that many zeros, for sure. But I mean, but you're right. I mean, it is a lot of money to wrap your mind around. And what I find fascinating is, as this story plays out, lawmakers are being pressured to tie this funding into other priorities, which could actually make the total cost even higher. So this administration likes to push through their agenda at all costs, right? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like this is going to be one of those things where, are we going to see this tied to aid that we desperately need here in the United States? But, oh, by the way, we're going to tack this on because this is also protecting those same interests. And you see lawmakers do this a lot. That's nothing
sure.
new. I'm not saying
there's
that.
Always pork.
Right. But in this particular case, it's really hard to justify $200 billion for a war that nobody really understands why we're fighting at this particular moment.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me, as you were saying about the pork and the administration trying to get their things. We're going to talk about a bridge that they basically held hostage if you didn't do what they say. And we heard the president say last week he would refuse to sign any other bills unless the SAVE Act was passed. So they will do whatever they need to get their agenda across. It'll be interesting to see the debate, because Republicans traditionally very hawkish when it comes to financing the Defense Department. And again, I don't have any problem with the military being funded. But there is a point where we have to say, okay, enough's enough. Give us a line item. You know, give us a
right.
budget. If we're going to spend something here at the station, they ask, what's the cost?
Right.
What's it for? What's going on? Most people have to do that at their jobs.
Yeah.
Before we sign off to increase the national debt
right.
again by another $200 billion, we need to know what it's for,
and think
not
about
vagaries.
And think about what we could do in this country with $200 billion. Roads, schools, I don't know, healthcare, lowering costs, you know, Medicaid, food shares, all of that kind of stuff. We could do a lot with $200 billion.
But we never have money for those
things. No. In fact, we try
always,
to cut those programs.
Historically, this country has always had money for war when we didn't have money for anything else. So it's not a big surprise.
New.
This is nothing new. It's just the numbers get bigger.
Yes. It's 6:19 right now. You are listening to Daybreak on this Friday morning. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noon. And Chuck Schumer is potentially being cut out of a DHS funding deal. We'll tell you about that and so much more as Daybreak continues on the Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Wisconsin Wakes Up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:22 right now. Thank you so much for joining us on the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. We're glad you're here. We want to hear from you all morning. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Don't forget, it's 7 o'clock, Jamie. It's another day of dough being given away on our Break Into Spring Multi-State Text to Win contest.
Ooh, I'm very excited because first week has been very successful. We've had lots of people enter. We've had lots of people win that daily prize of $200 in cash and then also get entered into the big drawing for the grand prize, which is that queen mattress set from Verlo. That's a package of over $1,300 that somebody is going to walk away with at the end of this contest. So get your Civic Media app ready and be ready to text in the keyword after 7 o'clock this morning. That will be your first word of the day. And then remember, you're going to have multiple chances to qualify throughout all of today. And then, of course, all next week again, too. So plenty of opportunity to still get your name into the drawing for those great prizes.
Thankfully, they always give us an easy word.
They do.
So,
yeah.
As I look at the list, some words get too hard to spell.
Well, it's early, so we don't want to make it too early. Tricky too early in the morning while people are trying to get out the door to work and kids to school and all of that good stuff.
So
ease
you'll
in.
You hear that? It's 7 o'clock. Strongly worded letter sure to be coming soon because White House border official Tom Homan met with centrist Democratic senators to try to reopen the Department of Homeland Security. The meeting went around. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer, who did not attend, he's going to be very upset. And we'll find out how Homan chose the senators that he chose to meet with.
Betcha Fetterman was in the room.
I'm sorry, I said Democratic senators, Jamie. I may have misspoke and said turncoats. Or this is just a sidebar. This John Fetterman thing is bizarre.
It is really bizarre.
Because I was a big proponent of John Fetterman when he was initially running. I liked that working class ethos. I heard good things about him from people in Pennsylvania. I read what he had done. I was like, okay, I kind of like this guy. And I don't know what happened after the stroke.
Yeah.
I honestly don't. But he has voted against Democrats pretty much exclusively since he had his medical issues. And I'm not tying one to the other. But if I were one of his constituents, I would be furious.
I think it would be interesting to see what the polling is in Fetterman's district. I haven't seen any of that. I guess that's me. I haven't dug into it either. I'm sure it exists somewhere out there. We have our own issues in Wisconsin.
Yeah, we can't worry about Pennsylvania.
But I haven't dug into it. But I think it would be interesting to see how people do respond in his district to him and the decisions he's been making, just based on how he's voted and how he has sided with Republicans on a majority of issues that literally are not good for his constituents, especially, if you're looking at the country in general, fine. But when you look at his specific district, he votes against his own people quite often when he sides with the Republicans.
He reminds me a lot of Kristen Sinema, where you get elected under one banner and quickly align yourself with the other. But that was a sidebar, because now we're back, and Chuck Schumer, the boy who did not get invited to the party, is probably going to be very upset about this meeting between Homan and some Democratic senators.
You know, and these talks lasted for over an hour. Both sides, they still say that they're still far from any sort of deal on negotiating this DHS shutdown. The funding, as we all remember, or maybe not, because this seems like 100 bazillion years ago, kind of like the money the Pentagon's asking for. Funding expired on February 14th. The agency is now partially shut down. Republicans, along with the White House, believe that they might have a better chance working with the moderate Democrats instead of party leadership. And some of the centrist Democrats, Brian, have previously broken with the party to end a government shutdown. At any rate, at some point, you have to get this funding figured out, because this isn't just about ICE at this point. when if you're going to an airport right now and you're one of those people slogging through those TSA lines because workers are quitting, because people, there's no funding. I mean, these lines, people at airports are standing in line for hours on end because DHS also funds all of that too. ICE is taking care of it, by the way.
Right, but here's the other thing. Democrats have put forth, I think, five different bills that would fund everything except for ICE.
Right.
But the Republicans, and it goes back to what we were saying before, pushing the agenda and not allowing other things.
Right.
They are going to count on the fact that even though they've technically been the ones who keep TSA agents from getting paid and keep those agencies from being funded, the Secret Service and some others, that the public outcry is going to be so great as people have to wait and wait and wait at airports that Democrats will have to cave because their constituents will complain. Where in reality, all of that could have been taken care of and negotiations over how much funding ICE should get going forward would continue. So it's important to point out the reality of this and not the oh, well, it's the Democrat shutdown. Because as you said, Chuck Schumer, I think, was one of the Democrats who broke last time to stop the shutdown. So this one is... it's falling on the Republicans' feet, but they're so good at messaging and so good at
much better than the Democrats ever are at messaging. Yeah.
So the messaging is, look, folks, you're suffering because of the Democrats. And if I'm in line for 3 hours, I'm looking to blame somebody.
Yeah.
And if that's the message I keep hearing, that's the person I'm blaming.
Well, and that's what we're hearing right now. And let's be clear, the Democrats are asking for things like judicial warrants, and this is all for ICE, limits on the masks that the agents are able to wear, as well as better training. Republicans say that they're willing to give some reforms like the body cams, but Democrats right now are saying that's not enough. This is where the whole up essentially lies. And there's also growing tension in the Democratic Party because there is pressure on leaders like Schumer to take a much harder stance. So I don't know if this is going to come to a head anytime soon. So if you're going to do any sort of air travel, plan on being at the airport for a while, unfortunately.
Get there early.
6:29 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. I am Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. After the news, is it the government's place to tell you what you can eat, even if you are getting aid? We'll talk about that and so much more. It is the Civic Media Network.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. If you're in Madison, listening on WMDX, or in Appleton and Oshkosh on WISS. In Wausau, listening on WXCO. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday morning. We are expecting some much warmer temperatures today and even warmer tomorrow.
Nice.
High right around 70. This is still a little portion of that fake spring, though, that you like to talk about, Brian, because by next week, back into the 40s.
I don't trust it, but I'll enjoy it. But I know it's not lasting, like many of my past relationships. Anyway, we're glad you're here. Here's what we need to know from you. Is it the government's place to tell you what you can eat, even if you are getting some sort of aid? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Can the government tell you what to eat? Well, let's find out. Wisconsin is trying because the state will take steps toward barring food share recipients from using benefits to purchase candy and soft drinks under legislation awaiting Governor Evers' signature. The bill passed the Senate with bipartisan support on March 17th. It also provides funding and additional positions requested by Evers' administration to ensure the state is not penalized under new federal requirements implemented under the president's one big beautiful bill last year. This has always bothered me.
Yes.
And we've talked about this before. The fact that the government is going to tell you what you can eat. Now, I get you could say, all right, no liquor, no tobacco. That's fine. This is a choice that is being made by adults. Now, for the people who are going to argue, well, they made choices and that's why they need help. That's not true, because we know so many people in this economy and in the country right now, for various reasons, from seniors to families to unemployed people to people with handicaps, a lot more people than you think are using food programs.
Yes, absolutely.
Through no fault of their own.
Right.
This is not a shameful thing. And to say, we'll give you something, but you don't have the capacity to make decisions for yourself, so we don't want you treating yourself to a candy bar someday because, you know, that's not you. You're either giving somebody help or you're not.
Well, and let's be clear. I mean, as you pointed out, let's think about the people who are using the food share benefits. It is families. You know, sometimes you just don't make enough in a household to make ends meet, so you need a little extra assistance. Small business owners. We are talking farmers. We are talking the elderly. We're talking disabled. So it's not just people who don't want to get out there and get a job, as we continually are told about people using these benefits. John chiming in over on our text line this morning, listening on WISS, says the simple answer to our question is no. Let a single parent buy their kid a birthday cake. Again, simple diversion from the corruption of the elite. John, of course, answering the question, is it the government's place to tell us what we can eat, even if we're getting aid? If you want to chime into the conversation this morning, 1-855-752-4842. That's 1-855-75-CIVIC. John also adding that it's very dehumanizing, and you can't disagree with that.
No.
And let's also be clear on these actual numbers, okay? Because the average benefit is somewhere around $136 to maybe $188 a month, which when you look at the price of groceries right now, that's not a lot. And so
$6 a day.
Right. And so a lot of people are essentially trying to stretch every dollar just so that they can have food on the table. So when the state or even the federal government starts talking about restricting what people can buy, whether that's candy, whether that's soda, even if it's small, it's bigger than that, right? It's about choice. It's also about giving these people dignity. And if someone wants to treat their kid, as John rightfully points out, once in a while, then they should be able to do that without the government telling them that they can or they cannot do that.
Yeah, it's one of those things that infantilizes people. You're too dumb, for lack of a better term, because that is how we get treated sometimes by the government, that we're too dumb to make our own decisions.
Right.
And thank God I haven't been in that position, but I can only imagine that if you're in that position, you are watching every penny. The portrait of the welfare mom that we used to hear about is completely false, and it's that same sort of narrative to change the public opinion of these programs and make people say, yeah, we do need to limit what people can buy. We do need to make sure they're trying to work. Well, as Jamie said, these are not people who, most of them, who are not looking for jobs. This is, some people use these benefits for longer periods. Some, it's a short-term bridge to something else. But either way, if we decide that we have these programs, we have to let people go. And people are smart enough to realize, hey, kids are disappointed and adults can be disappointed to say, we don't have it this week. We can't get the bag of cookies for your lunch. You're just going to have to eat your sandwich and something else. And next week when the benefits come in, we're short now. People learn to adapt that way. They're not just frivolously going out the first day their benefits come in and buying junk food.
And let me use my mom as an example. My mom is on food share. My mom is in her early 70s. She has congestive heart failure. She has been a widow for 20 years. She has worked her behind off to even be where she's at. She lives right now because of the Social Security she got from my dad. She was a stay-at-home mom with me for multiple years, worked in our family's office. We owned our own companies. Never took a salary to do that. She was a hard worker. Then she got congestive heart failure. My dad passed away, and she was forced to make a lot of choices. And we've helped where we absolutely can. Right now, she is living on a Social Security check of $1,200 a month. She is in a rent-assisted building where her rent is $850 a month. That doesn't leave a lot for electricity. That doesn't leave a lot for the medicine she needs to stay alive. That also doesn't leave a lot for her to go buy food, which she also needs. And so she gets a mere, if you're going to be upset about this, she gets a mere $26 a month to help her with her food because of $26 because her Social Security income is $1,200, which puts her at a threshold for it being too much because there's all of the government charts and regulations, right? So $26 a month is what the woman gets, and she uses every penny of it that she can to buy her milk, to buy her bread, to buy her eggs, all of those basics. And let me be clear, she has congestive heart failure. So the things that she is able to eat, we have to be very careful with, right? Because it can't have too much sodium. It can't have too much this because it is literally keeping her alive. $26 mm-hmm. a month. So $1,226 a month in aid that my mom is getting after working an entire life, raising a family, and being a really great citizen. So no, it is not just people sitting around not wanting to do a job. She is a case scenario of who these benefits are helping every single day.
That's rough. Now, Lynn from Golden Valley, listening on WCFW, says, well, if they only get $100 a month, most people are also paying cash for most of their food. Your control argument makes no sense to me. Sorry. The control argument is, why put these limitations on there in the first place? Why, yeah. You know, and then you're also putting a burden on the retailers to say, if I go into my local convenience store, what is considered candy? What is considered a soft drink?
Granola bar, protein bar. Are those going to be all? There's going to be gray areas based on sugars and yes.
It's like, okay, we all know alcohol and tobacco. That's a no-brainer. No, those you don't need those things. And the argument is you don't need sugary treats or drinks. Technically, no. But the issue at hand is, and what I'm arguing for about is that we shouldn't be putting these limits on because it just makes people feel small, and it's already even though we preach that it's not a shameful thing, and we understand there are a lot of people, especially if you've been working and working, now you're laid off and you can't find a job and you're like, oh, I got to get to, there is a level of shame involved. And now to be even more shamed into saying, well, listen, it's almost like being punished. Well, yeah. you didn't do a good job. So now you've got to, now you got to, no dessert for you.
Steve in Mount Horeb chiming in, listening on WMDX this morning, says, no Easter candy for the kids, a basket full of carrots. That goes back to the dignity part of it, right? And that's essentially what it is. Now, Evers has championed the approval of some of these resources for the State Department of Health Services. He didn't address the new restrictions, though, on some of the purchases for recipients of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. He also said in a statement that over 700,000 Wisconsinites, including 270,000 kids, depend on food share. And with the chaos we're seeing at this federal level, he went on to say that it's critical that we do everything we can to support this program and help kids, families, and seniors across the state. Now, Evers' administration estimated last fall that Trump's sweeping tax and spending law would cost the state $284 million over the span of its enactment. And in August, requested nearly $70 million to cover the implementation of these new requirements for the SNAP program.
Another big ask, big money.
Yeah.
Now we're also adding these work requirements mm-hmm. to the new regulation. It's costing all these states so much money to make these changes. And the amount of money and amount of asks being thrown around by the federal government make you really wonder if any of these people have gone to a grocery store in the last 20 years, 10 years.
Probably not to do a lot of their own shopping would be my guess in this particular administration.
It's just crazy made up numbers and they don't care how much it costs.
I mean, here's the thing. I know what it costs me monthly to feed my family of three. And I know what I am paying, and my list doesn't really waver. I make a lot of the same things. I buy all the same basics, all the same staples for our household. And I know what it was costing me, you know, 4 or 5 months ago. And I know what I've continually seen the price go up to and how much I am spending now. And let me be clear. I don't buy name brand everything. Some things, yes, some things, no. I'm fortunate that I don't have to rely on SNAP, but let me tell you, I've also relied on the government for other other things when we owned our own damn business because we couldn't make ends meet making $40,000 a year raising a family with two kids. We couldn't do it. So we had to rely on the Wisconsin state government to help us out, especially for health care. We were lucky enough we never had to do the SNAP benefits. But at the same time, if I know what I'm paying at the store and I'm barely able to do it right now, I can't imagine what a family who does use these benefits on a daily basis, I can't imagine they're like, oh, let's just load up the cart today with all the chips. No, because you're a parent and you're trying to make the best choices for that you can. But if your kid sees that candy bar and they're like, Mom, can I really have this? You want to do everything you can as a parent to let them have that moment, right? And I can't imagine what it is like to go to the store right now when I'm sighing and huffing and puffing using my credit card and what it's like for these parents and these families and these individuals who are using these benefits right now.
Tanya, listening to WMDX here in Madison, says we were talking about how much it's costing the states. She says, that's the point. Make these programs hard to run so they fail.
Can't argue with that.
All right, listen. When we come, Parker's about to play the music. Let me ask you this question. And Jamie, I want you to think about this too.
Okay. All right.
Who would you name a highway after in Wisconsin other than Charlie Kirk?
Mm.
Why am I asking you this question? It seems absurd, doesn't it? Well, who would name a highway after Charlie Kirk? We'll explain.
It's 6:48. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Local news, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:52 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. A beautiful start to the day. We've got motorcycles down State Street already because, boy, oh, boy, it's going to be warm over the next couple of days, and we're going to enjoy every moment of it. Hey, this is your quick reminder before we get into this next story to download that Civic Media app if you don't already have it, or at least get it ready, because at 7:06 this morning, you are going to get your text word of the day for the Break into Spring Multi-State Text to Win Contest. Remember, your chance to win $200 in cash on the daily, or you can qualify for the grand prize as well. But you got to have the Civic Media app ready to roll so that you can possibly text to win some stuff. So there you go. That's your little tease. So be ready. Can't say we didn't warn you. It's coming.
Nope. And we've been warning you for weeks. Yeah. So if you're still late to the party, I don't know what to tell you. But I will tell you this, or I will ask you this, rather, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Who would you name a highway after here in Wisconsin instead of Charlie Kirk? And yes, that could actually happen, and we will keep an eye on this story.
Yeah.
Washington County is considering a resolution to name a portion of a county road Charlie J. Kirk Way in honor of the late conservative activist. I don't get the martyrdom and the idolization of Charlie Kirk, but that's just me. So an agenda for the county's executive committee meeting lists discussions of a resolution authorizing the name overlay to a portion of County K, as well as discussion of a resolution to make a general fund transfer for highway signs displaying the new name. Charlie Kirk. Do you want to drive down Charlie Kirk Way?
This is just ridiculous to me.
What I left out, Jamie, I'm sorry. I apologize. They're only letting white cars on the road.
And this is going to cost $50,000 to do. But, you know, whatever. Just a mere $50,000. I want to take the politics out of this for just a moment because Charlie Kirk is inflammatory, right?
I was going to say, but you can't, when you're talking about Charlie Kirk, I'm interested to hear how you're going to take the politics out of Charlie
because
Kirk.
Because here's the thing. No matter how you feel about the guy, he was a podcaster. That's what he was. He was a podcaster who had strong opinions and traveled around the world and tried to get people to agree with him. He was essentially a podcaster. And I'll say it right now. The way he died was tragic. Violence like that is never anything that we should celebrate, and it is not acceptable anywhere, ever, in any reason. But He was a podcaster. There are a lot of people in this world who have done really great things, right? They've had community impacts. They've done sweeping things to actually help people. He was known for his divisive political stance. Why would we make a road out of him? And here's the thing. Even if you're a Charlie Kirk fan, okay, fine. That's that each their own. If you were a Charlie Kirk fan and, you know, somebody wanted to make a road out named after a Democratic podcaster who had also inflammatory things to say on the other end of the spectrum, would you be cool with 50 grand for that? Probably not.
And would you want to see that every day? And for the Washington County executives, are all of your constituents, all the residents of Washington County, fans of Charlie Kirk? This was a man who held no office, really only made an impact
right.
on his group of followers. Now, is Turning Point a large, powerful organization? Sure, but there's a lot of people who have founded large, powerful organizations, to Jamie's point. There's a lot of people who did not listen to Charlie Kirk, had no idea who Charlie Kirk was until he was assassinated. So why subject everybody in your county to
right.
this daily reminder of the divisiveness in this country? Because what you're doing is driving a wedge between the residents, and we're going to follow up on this, because there's going to be people who think this is the greatest thing, just like Charlie Kirk having a moment of silence after his death. Any death is tragic. We don't see this for other people who I believe would be more well-deserving. It used to be you had to be a president or some
right.
civic leader who really changed the course of your community to get an honorary, just even an honorary street named after you, not the whole county road renamed for you.
I mean, here's the thing. This floored me reading the draft of the resolution authorizing this name change. Quote, to honor the life and work of Charlie Kirk, which contributed to a broader national dialogue about the importance of protecting freedom of speech, defending constitutional rights, and preserving the values that have long defined the American experiment. He was a podcaster. I mean, I'm going to keep going back to that. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a podcaster. I know several people who do it well.
Yeah, you're talking to one.
Exactly. I don't have any issues with that. But let's not pretend that he did all of these great things for America. He went to colleges and he argued with college students to try to get them to believe what he did, so that they weren't. Understand this.
Let's not sugarcoat the kind of dialogue that he spouted.
Right.
Here. Let's not pretend that Charlie Kirk was, you know, he may have wrapped himself in the flag, but if you peeled off that top level, there was a lot of hate and divisiveness under there. And that's not speaking ill of the dead. That's a fact. Go listen to it. It's nothing hard.
We have a lot of people chiming in on the text line.
Yes.
John saying this morning, vote every single one of those county, air quote, supervisors out who support this. Frank from Poinette listening on MDX this morning saying, these people are nuts. Forget about Charlie. Lynn from Golden Valley, the sign will be full of bullet holes within a week. I mean, this is the other thing, too. You're using taxpayer money. And not
right.
everybody
yes.
agrees with the point of view of Charlie Kirk. And I think that is the thing that these supervisors are forgetting. You represent, even as a county supervisor, you represent every person in your county, not just a select few who also happen to agree with you. And to ask people to fund a $50,000 road sign, I don't know, bad taste in my mouth.
Every program and every expenditure is going to have critics, but you should be able to argue for the funding in the public good. If you can tell me how this increases the public good in Washington County, I would love to hear it. All right, we got to wrap it up because it's time for the news. After that,
the national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.